That's awesome, isn't it? I just enjoy that so much. Well, welcome. Greetings from Oklahoma City. That's where we just flew in, me and Brother Stone. He's sitting at the back. He's trying to hide back there. And we've attended the Church Planters Conference. And I know we got a lot of new members, so just very quickly, preachers from all over the country come in. I mean, there's a ton of preachers there. I would say 300 or 400. I don't know. A lot. And they come in specifically to raise money for church planters. And as of this morning, so after lunch today, they had raised over $200,000 for church planters. And they still, that's only halfway through. They raised $25,000 this morning. And we had a little part in it, our church did too, for a church planter in Florida planting churches. He's Haitian and moved to America 20 years ago, started a church in Florida amongst the Haitians there, 150,000 Haitians in that area he's in. And for 20 years, they've been meeting in the community center, tearing down, setting up, tearing down, setting up. It just blew my mind. And they had an opportunity to buy a building and needed $50,000 down. And they had raised, among the Haitians, they had raised like 25 or 30 and needed $25,000 by next week. And those group of preachers raised $26,000 for him. It was amazing, amazing. And several men, over 10,000, and just, like I said, over $200,000. Brother Jason, we're still hoping he gets to present, and y'all pray hard that tonight or in the morning or tomorrow evening, that Brother Jason Pugh, our church planter in South Fort Worth now, technically, would get to present the new building there and raise some money for his new building. So y'all pray hard that that'll happen, and that'll be a real blessing. So anyway, we decided, me and Brother Stone, that we're getting old. Normally we would have stayed for the service tonight and came home by midnight because I have a meeting tomorrow to be at. And normally I would stay tomorrow and be there tomorrow, but needed to get back. So we tried to get in here in time for the service. And so appreciate Brother Wiggins and all the staff. And looking forward to a good service tonight, even though Brother Tramar is preaching. And so, I tell you what, with our pastoral staff, you got to let them preach from time to time. They got a lot of preach in them. And I appreciate Brother Tramar, the job he's doing. And hard to start a school from nothing and to get it on a track. And I do appreciate the job he's doing. We've added several new students this week. And so, what a blessing. And I appreciate, and I do mean this. I appreciate his wife as much or more than him. But I want to clarify. I could say that about all the pastoral staff, including myself. And I appreciate the wives who step up. And I talk too much. Over the years, with staff, it's nice to have staff wives who step in and work hard as their husbands. That's my point. And I appreciate this family very much. But Tramar, you got 30 minutes now.
Oh.
Come and preach.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. What a great introduction. I get the question, asked the question the most out of all of it is, how did you get her? Shut up. Yeah. I lied to her. That's how I got her. That's how all you guys got her. Don't even try to even think you don't. All right, I got just a short time tonight, and I've been dealing with teenagers for a long time in my life, 15 years now, and I always thought the worst kind of Christian was, or worst kind of person, was an unsaved person. And I realized just in a short time that really the worst kind of person is a Christian that is bitter against God. And then I thought, no, that's not right either. The worst kind of Christian is the Christian that is bitter against God that has children. And we laugh at that, but I'm telling you, our kids suffer because we are not right with God. Okay, well, I'm glad you agree. Here, I'm going to give you a little synopsis of it. I've got 30 minutes, and I hope that you can get out. We're going to read a story in the Bible, a true story. My dad doesn't like to say story. He likes to say message because it's true. We're going to read a story. I'm going to comment on some of the verses, and then I'm going to give you an outline. And then after I give you the outline, then I'm going to personally apply it. And then it's your chance to enter into the service to see if the Holy Spirit dealt with you. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. If I do get done in time, which I don't know if I am, I have the top 10 Heritage new member moments. You guys will love these. Yeah, you guys will love them. From a new member that's been here over 240 days, I realize there's some things that Heritage Baptist Church does that not a lot of churches do. Would you guys like to know those 10 things? Well, we got to get to preaching first, though. Preaching first. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 5. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse number 5. Title of my message today is Let It Go, Saul. Let it go. And no, we're not going to sing the song. I know you so badly, these guys over here smiling, they want to sing it. But we're not going to sing it today. $5. No, just kidding. 1 Samuel chapter number 18, verse number 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. Meaning David did anything that Saul told him to do. He was an obedient servant of Saul. Saul sent him and behaved himself what? Wisely. We are the David, and God the Father is our Father. He tells us to go out and do some things. We better do it wisely. Yes, number 5. And Saul sent him out and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. What a blessing David was. He was doing a good job for his boss. He was behaving himself wisely. He was doing what he was supposed to do. He did his job 110%, and people liked him. His own servants, Saul's servants, liked him, verse number 6. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine. Now, do we know what that is? That's the slaughter of Goliath. Two chapters before this, we were talking about this. Here comes David coming back to Saul, and he says in the slaughter of the Philistine that the women came out of all the cities of Israel. Singing and dancing. Oh, these women. Oh, don't let us get started on women tonight. Go ahead and smile at me. It'll be all right. They came out singing and dancing in the streets to meet who? King Saul. Now, I've read this story as a preacher. I'm 40 years old. I've probably read it 40 times, and I never really understood it. I thought they were out there singing for David. Maybe you guys are more smart than I am. That's what I thought. But no, the Bible says they came out there to sing for who? To meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music, verse 7. And the women answered one another as they're out there, as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, is that true? Probably on the half of Saul's part of the song. But David had only killed what? Goliath. A big one, though. But they said, oh, he's killed 10,000. So the song really wasn't the true song. You ever listen to a song and think, man, there's a lot of truth in that. And then you listen to a song and you think, well, that's not a whole lot of truth at all. You know, some of the country music some folks listen to, where you lose your wife and your watermelon and your dog and all the rest. You know what I'm talking about, When I Wake Feed Jake. Don't even play. Oh, there's two of you. Okay. They come out there and sing this song. No, Saul has killed his 10,000, David's killed his 10,000, Saul's 1,000, verse 8. And Saul was very, what? Wroth. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands? And what can he have more but the kingdom? He's all in a frizzy and he's asking himself questions. He don't know what's going on. David's killed all these people, killed Goliath. They come back and they're singing and dancing in the street. He's not very happy. And when you make the head boss, the king of the world, mad, there's going to be a problem. So Saul gets very, very angry. And verse number 9, folks, so this is where it's going to a little bit apply to us. And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. He kept his eyeball on him. Can I just tell you a little secret? There's some folks that are looking at you right now. And that'll look at you on Sunday. And that'll look at you at work. And that will look at you while you're in your house. Those are called your children. There are people that are watching you, whether you want to believe it or not, whether or not you think you have an influence on somebody or not, they're watching you. Saul said, he eyed David, and he said, I'm watching him from now on. I'm going to watch that man. Look at verse number 10. And it came to pass, as tomorrow, the evil spirit came from evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Sounds juicy, doesn't it? Teenagers, I'm used to preaching to teenagers. Teenagers would love that. You know, Saul was head and shoulders above the rest, if I read it correctly in my Bible. He was a man amongst men. He was a big, tall man. He probably was very, very strong. David, just a squirt of a boy. And I guarantee you that Saul had some pretty good accuracy when he threw his javelin. You don't become the king and become the greatest leader of any army and not be able to cast your javelin. But David, being quick, kind of like a little Caleb Crawford, you know, those little Crawford boys, maybe like a little Micah, just quick, got out of the way of that javelin. And I don't love what the Bible says, but I like what the Bible says here. It says, Saul cast a javelin before he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. Meaning that he was sitting there playing his little harp, and he would cast that javelin, and he would throw it so far that it would go right through David and pin him up against the wall. You guys like the horror story? I'm preaching to this side over here because they're a little younger, and they like the horror movies. Yeah? Go ahead and shake your six-pound head. You know it. He was so mad that he was going to throw that thing, and he was going to thrust it right through his body, even to the wall. Now, it would be cool, right? Can I just get a little amen over here? Because the old folks over here, they're not getting it, right? That would hurt. I'm sure Saul could have thrown it pretty hard. And I'm sure if he pretty accurate, he could have nailed it. But David got out of the way. Look at verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Let me throw this in here to you. I sure hope you know when the Lord departs from you. When you get into the flesh and you get mad and you get angry and you get upset at somebody, you better know. If the Holy Spirit doesn't get a hold of you, there's a slight spiritual problem. If you can go off and get mad and curse and yell and scream at another Christian and not feel bad about it, there's a problem deep inside. And we'll move on from there. This is getting a little hot. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him captain over 1,000. Get this guy away from me, please. He's over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. We're going to say 15 and 16 for that at the end of the chapter. We read the Bible. Now let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight in this short time, these next 20 minutes. Father, I pray that you'd give us wisdom. Say what you need to say to these folks, what they need to hear tonight. Lord, to make a decision in their life. Lord, not just to waste this time, but Lord, that they would make a decision and be better Christians than we walked in these doors today. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I'm going to preach a message on let it go, Saul. He couldn't let it go. Somebody did wrong to him and he couldn't let it go. Now, I know that you sit here and I know that we are on here at church. And when we came in these sixteen doors, that we put our church stuff on. Now, I want to be done on time, and you're going to help me so I don't get yelled at by the staff. I already heard it from Miss Donnie, Miss Tanya, Miss Sonia, that I better be on time because they got to deal with all the brats in the back. That was their exact word, brats. No, I'm just kidding. So you got to help me tonight. How many ever in here has been hurt by somebody? Go on, just raise your hand. Just raise real fast up and down. Okay. All right, now, you people that have been hurt by somebody, whether it be family, whether it be your children, whether it be your mom and dad, or whether it be somebody else, how many has ever been hurt by somebody that you love that was in church? Raise your hand. Okay? Now, I'm going to have you raise your hands one more time, because what I want you to know is I want everybody else to see that everybody else has kind of been through the same thing that you've been through. You're not the only one that's ever been hurt by somebody. How many here has ever been hurt by somebody in the church? Raise your hand. Excellent. Now, look around. That's probably 90% of the crowd. How many in here have ever been hurt by a pastor or a preacher? Just raise your hand up. Boom, boom. Wow. At least 30 if my eyes could see right. Let me tell you something, folks. Life is difficult, and life is full of hurt, and you're going to get hurt. I'm not up here preaching Joel Osteen tonight. Sorry about the internet there. Everything's happy, happy, and everything's great. Everything's not great. There are people that are going to hurt you in life. Saul and David, David just wanted to serve Saul, and then these women came out and started singing a song. Saul gets mad, and he tries to kill David 2 times. David gets out of the presence. You know, this is what happens. My first point today is, don't nurse your hurt. Okay, now, this morning, I came in here about 2:45 today, and I got my props ready, and I come up here, and I put something in here, and I put a bottle in here, a baby bottle. This is your bottle. I found it in the nursery. I don't know how I found it, but I found it, and I brought it up here, and I came up here about 5 minutes before I was supposed to preach, and I realized the bottle wasn't there, but I found another one. When I say you don't want to nurse it, Saul was hearing these ladies sing a song. He was upset, not because what David had done and killed the Philistine. He was glad because it was a big war. The Philistine was dead. But he comes home and he sees these women out there singing a song, and Saul gets upset over women singing a song that wasn't even true. So Saul got so upset and so mad to the point that he was ready to commit murder to one of his close people. He'd come out there and hear that song. Now, I thought, man, that song, he must have just walked out of the street and heard the song. It's not true. Look over, if you can, in 1 Samuel chapter number 21, just a couple pages over. And verse number 11, 21:11. Here comes the song again. It's amazing. The song is great. I wanted Brother Wiggins to write me a song for today, but I knew I didn't have much time to do it. And 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 7, it says, "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another, sing one of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 29, verse number 5. It said, Is not this David of whom they sang one song or one to another dances, saying, Saul slew his thousands and David slew his 10,000s? Listen, they were singing this song in Achish, which was a Philistine territory. This song became so popular that even it was known in the enemy's territory. Saul was so angry with David that these women were singing this song that he got his little bottle out and started to nurse his hurt. What are bottles for? For babies, aren't they? You fill them up and you drink them. I got a video when we went to our basketball tournament of Victor drinking a whole bottle of Mountain Dew, but just a bottle. It took him about 4 minutes to get that thing down. There was a contest with all the macho men of the place. But you give a bottle to a baby so the baby can do what? So it can grow. So the baby can get healthier. So the baby can have some food. Listen, I'm telling you, when you're hurt by somebody, don't nurse it. Don't make it bigger than what it is. Reagan has a problem with eyesight. And he told me, my dad just told me, just let it be like water off a duck's back. That's great. I think as Christians, sometimes we walk around with our little bottles and we're like, oh, somebody hurt me. And you hide it, of course. I mean, because we're in the Baptist church stuff. You kind of just put it in your suit, you know. And then you walk down the hallway of the person that hurt you and you're like, think about him. Some of you, older ones that have been in church a long time, you got a little six-pack hooked up right here of the six people in the church that hurt you. Just pulling out, you're like, oh, there's Bob. And you nurse your little hurt, you nurse your little offensive, and you nurse your little thing that they did to you, and you make it grow, and it gets bigger and bigger. Don't nurse it. Don't make it bigger. Number two, don't rehearse it. What? Yeah, don't rehearse it. You're not an actor. Some of us deserve this right here. A little trophy because you're a great actor. And you're like, I can't believe Saul. I just can't believe that they're singing this song. You know how many people Saul told when he went back to his palace? I can't believe, can you hear what they're saying? Look, I got to rehearse this thing. Some of you have a story about somebody that hurt you, and you can tell it over and over and over again, and you become an amazing actor, and you deserve one of these Golden Globes. Because you're so good at it. Can you believe what this preacher did to me? Listen, preachers are human too. I'm not going to say it. I plan on saying even if the pastor wasn't here. I didn't plan on being here tonight. So, listen, he's not perfect. He's going to mess up. This is going to happen. So go ahead and get your little trophy out and rehearse it to your neighbors and rehearse it to the crowd and make it bigger than what it really is, because pretty soon you'll be pretty good at giving that story. See, some of you know. Some of you know, oh, I've heard this before. You get in your little groups before. I've been hurt, been stabbed in the back. Somebody borrowed money from me. How many's ever had that happen before? Somebody borrowed money from you, never paid you back. Two of you. That's amazing. That's incredible. I can't believe it. The rest of you are just lying. You got this and you're going to rehearse it. Don't nurse your problem. Don't rehearse your problem. Thirdly tonight, and I'm hurting, it's 7:33. Don't curse it. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. And don't curse it. God brings everything in our lives for a reason. So we can learn from those reasons. So we can learn from things. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, it says all things work together for good. The reason why that person who's such a pain in your back is because God put them there. You ever have a person that just all the time is negative about God and negative about church? And I heard one guy say, oh, church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, that's great. Where else would you like the hypocrite to go? Well, the bar is full of hypocrites too. It's best for the best place in the world for a hypocrite. Guess where? Church. Because he might have a chance to get right. Listen, don't nurse your problem. And I know, I hope the Holy Spirit today is bringing something in your mind and your heart that you've had a problem with against a neighbor, if it's a coworker, if it's a child, or against a mate, or against a friend, or against a preacher, or against a church member that they brought into your life that you haven't forgiven them yet. And you've been nursing it, and then you've been rehearsing it over and over again, and you've been cursing it. Why, God, did you do this to me? Why did you bring Bob into my life? He brought him into your life so that you can learn something. Maybe to keep you humble. Don't nurse it. Don't rehearse it. Don't curse it. Guess what? Don't reimburse it. What? You know when you borrow something from somebody and you're supposed to reimburse them back? Just because somebody did wrong to you doesn't mean you have to do what? Give it back to them. Well, they deserve it. They don't know how bad they hurt me. And they I'm going to reimburse. You know, I borrowed some money from somebody and I got to reimburse them. You know, that's an important thing to do. But when you get hurt, it's not good for you to reimburse. Just let that part go. If Saul could have just let it go. But no, he nursed that thing and he cursed it and he rehearsed it and he reimbursed it. But let me tell you, the best thing that you can do in your life is disperse it. Meaning that you give it over to God. Meaning that you get down here at the altar and say, God, I need to get rid of this bitterness and get rid of this stuff in my life, in my head, against this other Christian. And God, I got to disperse it to you. Listen, there's no better place in the world to disperse something than at the altar. I think we've lost track of it, and we've let some people rob us of that joy of coming to the altar and getting things right. I think we get so embarrassed or too proud when we can't come down here. Look, even as pastoral staff, you've got to come down here, and you've got to get right sometimes. Well, I just don't know. I'm in the middle of the aisle and I just can't come out. I just feel bad about going down. Get down to the altar and disperse it to God. The Bible says if you do that, if you don't nurse it and you don't curse it and you don't rehearse it and you don't reimburse it, but you disperse it, guess what God will do? He will reverse it. Meaning there could be joy and there could be a blessing. Just think, if Saul would have just let it go, him and David could have ran that kingdom and there could have been an amazing thing that happened with both of them working together. But instead, Saul decided in his life that he was going to hunt down Daniel like a dog every day for the next days of his life to kill David. His life got ruined because of what? Singing and dancing women. Well, that just sounds absolutely pathetic. Well, how can Saul do that? Saul was God's chosen man. Saul, the very first king of Israel. He's the man. And he led a song, and on top of that, a song that wasn't even true, ruined his legacy. Made him so mad he wanted to kill somebody. God will reverse it if you let him have it. But some of you are stuck in the first 4 points. And you've never come down and said, God, I'm going to disperse it to you. I'm going to pray and I'm going to say, Lord, you need to have this thing in my life. You never gave him a chance to reverse it yet. Still in this auditorium with amongst all these people and amongst all the years that a lot of people have gone to church and we add it all up, there's still some people in this church that have bitterness in their heart towards somebody. I'm not a gambling man, but I guarantee you there's some people in here right now that still hoard bitterness to a preacher that did them wrong. You can shake your little head. Some of you have 8-pound heads. Now's not the time to look up at the tiles and count the tiles, okay? There's 1,792 of them, okay? I've already counted them. That's including two little ones on these two little poles right here, okay? I counted them when Brother Wiggins was preaching one time. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Some of you still got some bitterness in there. Some of you hold bitterness to somebody in this church. Hold with me. I only got eight more minutes. You'll be all right. I'll be all right. You'll be fine. Some of you got some bitterness in this church. So here's what I want to do. David was sitting there playing his harp. And Saul, while he was trying his very best to hold himself, decided he was going to take this javelin. This is not really a javelin. This is a mop stick. And he was wanting to throw this sword, if you can just picture it as a sword and not a mop stick. Fabuloso. He wanted to kill David so bad with this thing. Some of us walk around with our javelin. We pick it up right before we go to church on Sunday. David was smart because David got out of the way. Remember the Bible says that he removed himself two times? I know after the first time somebody threw a sword at me, I don't think I'd go back. That's just me, because I'm not really a manly man. I'm more of a, I don't like, brother, pastor punches people. I'm not, I'll have that hug. I'll take a hug. I wouldn't go back. But David said, I'm going to go back. So he goes back again, and he does the same thing. And Saul picks up the sword and throws it at him. The javelin, throws it right at him. He misses again. Here's what I'm afraid some of us here at Heritage have done. Is David moved out of the way. And maybe you moved out of the way sometimes with somebody that did something odd against you and some sin against you. And you moved out of the way and the javelin missed you. This is what some of us do. We pick up the javelin. We start stabbing ourselves with it. You know, so we can hope this works. I don't know if there we go. So you walk into church. You'd be like, Saul hurt me. Let me tell you, Brother Shuler. Pastor hurt me. You know, I was years ago, I was at a preacher, and a preacher did something bad with the finances. And let me tell you my little story. See, then you take it back out. And then you go over, and you spread your little gossip and your little story and your little hurt with everyone else. So by the time we've got people here at Heritage, we've got 45 sticks in them. Because they've been in church for 45 years. And they look like a porcupine coming into church. And everybody that they see, they poke. You know who they are. People that come up to you and say, can you believe what this person did to me? Pull out your little sword, stab yourself with it again. It still hurts. Well, it wouldn't hurt if you'd stop stabbing yourself with it. But now what you're doing is you go around, you stab yourself with it, and you're poking everybody else with your bitterness. Good. Let it go. When he throws it at you, let it go. Leave it there. Don't pick it back up and be like, yeah, I got to tell daggum Miss Fiesler. Got to tell her about it. Well, somebody did to me. Listen, 90% of you, I better put this down because I'll hit somebody. And then I'll be bitter. Right? And get your little bottle out. Brother Scott hit me upside the head with a mop. You get in the church and you think, oh, I got to tell somebody. How many is in here has ever had somebody tell them a story of how somebody hurt them? Come on. That's almost every one of you. Except for you young people over there. Yeah, you haven't lived life yet. You just wait till somebody stabs you. You just wait. Folks, it could have been amazing for them. So, that's the message. That's the scripture. That's the illustration. Don't nurse it. Don't curse it. Don't rehearse it. Don't reimburse it. But disperse it, and God will what? Reverse it. Now, how do I do that? You don't know how badly somebody hurt me. How do I do what you just preached? I love how us preachers get up, and we'll preach at you, and we'll sweat at you, and we'll spit at you, and we'll do everything at you, but we have no idea what to do to make it right. Thank you, preacher. That's a good message. Man, you made me smile today. Oh, that was a funny sword. Oh, that was a good trophy. May I please have my bottle back? But how in the world do I let go of something that somebody did to me? Well, let me give it to you, because I got 4 minutes. Looky, looky, looky there. Psalm chapter number 22, verse number 4. Look what it says. Psalm chapter number 22, verse number 24. I got 5 amazing verses for us to read so the Lord can help us tonight. Psalm chapter number 22, verse number 24. The Bible says, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. You are the afflicted, and the affliction is that sorrow. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, guess what? What's the last two words? He heard. Hey, listen, church. God will hear you. God will take that bitterness from you. We're coming up on stewardship conference. We're coming up on a preacher I've never heard before. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to hear him. But listen, I got to have my heart right before I get there. If I walk into the house of God with bitterness in my heart towards some of you guys, did you know? Man, I hope I have time for this. Did you know that I was hurt so bad that many people wanted to see me die? Did you know that? Yeah. You know, people wanted to see me die, and people laughed at it. We can go back just a couple months ago. when we were all outside, and we were in the ring of the rodeo. And you guys put me out there, a well-known diabetic, put a little blindfold on me and put me in the middle of the rodeo ring and shoved bananas in my mouth. It's a great thing for a diabetic, just to let you know. I mean, you said, and then all of you were just laughing. The only person that loved me was Miss Linda Reed. The only person. She's like, I didn't know what to do. She said, I wanted to go out there and stop them. Well, you should have stopped them. I could have died right there, and you guys just would have been laughing. Attempted murder by the whole church of Heritage Baptist Church. But you know what? I didn't get bitter. I didn't nurse it. I didn't curse it. I didn't rehearse it. I didn't reimburse it. But I dispersed it to God. And guess what? All of you are my friends. You can't tell me the whole church wanted to see you die. You can't tell me that. But I did. I experienced it. You don't know how hard it was for me. I had to get over it. Now, that's a funny story. But I'm telling you, God will hear you. When you truly, truly want to lay that thing down and say, God, I need to get rid of this in my life. Because it's not only ruining me, but it's ruining my wife. And it's ruining my kids. Last verse of the day, Lamentations. And you may not be able to find it because it's a hard book to find. It took me a little while to find it. If I didn't go to Bible college, I don't think I could find it. Lamentations, chapter number three. I have so many more verses here for you folks. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 22. 3 minutes, you'll relax, hold on. You say, Brother Scott, I just don't know. If you got your pen and paper with you and you're writing down notes and you really want a preacher to tell you what to do, go to Psalm chapter number 22, verse number 24. Go to Psalm chapter number 56, verses 8 and 9. Go to Psalm chapter number 116, verses 1 and 2. Go to Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse 11. Go to Psalm chapter number 30, verse number 5. I've got 10 more. I used to be a long-winded preacher, but they won't allow that here at Heritage Baptist Church. So I've got all those that you can look at. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 32. Lamentations chapter number 3, verse number 22. And I want you to see these words. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hey, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercy. Let me tell you something. How many times we've done something to disappoint God? But yet God didn't give up on us. He still loved us through it. He still took care of us through it. He still fed us through it. He didn't give up on us. Who are we to give up on somebody else just because they disappointed us? Yeah, get over it, Saul. Let it go, Saul. Okay, I'm almost done. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. I love how there's a little S on the end of that word. I know it's great that we talk about compassion and love, but let me tell you something. There's multiple times in our life that God shows his love toward us. Compassions upon compassions. How come if we're going to be Christians, Christ-like people, that we can't forgive somebody else the way that Christ forgave us? You're not better than God. You have to forgive. The Bible says in James, if you don't forgive your brother, you walk in what? Darkness. My dad taught me that a long time ago. Forgive somebody. Let him go. Verse number 22. And the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Behold, because his compassions fail. I love, love, love. Verse number 23. If you have a life verse, if you struggle with what I'm preaching about, if you can't forgive somebody, memorize Lamentations chapter 3, 22 and 23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't live your life like Saul lived his life. He ended his life that day. When he got so mad at David, and he said, I'm going to hunt you down like a dog for the rest of David's life, or for the rest of Saul's life. He ends up dying on his own sword in the cave. Life was miserable for him for that, because he would not let it go from some ladies that were singing and dancing a song that wasn't true. Don't let your legacy be, Heritage Baptist Church member. Somebody do something to you, and you live a bitter-filled life for the rest of your life. Let things go. Give it over to God. He'll reverse it for you, I promise. He'll give you that healing that you need. He'll replace it with somebody and somebody better. Don't put your faith and trust in people. Don't put your faith and trust in men. We're going to fail you. Put your faith and trust in God. He will never, ever fail you. Let's all stand together. Father, tonight I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach. Father, I pray that you'd help us, the words that were coming out today. Father, in the 15, 20 verses that we read out of your Bible, Lord, as we think about letting go of some bitterness in our lives, in our hearts toward other people. Lord, I just touched the tip of the iceberg on hurt. Father, there's churches all over America, all over the country, all over the world that are full of people that are bitter against other Christians. Father, I pray that this example of Saul and David, that we would realize this is too petty, it's too little to lose my Christian life and lose my Christian walk with God, to be bitter at somebody that somebody did to me years ago. Father, I pray that we'll disperse these things to you tonight. Maybe it won't be tonight as we walk the aisle. Maybe it'll be tonight when we get on our bedside. But Lord, maybe we get that thing right with that person. May we not live in bitterness in our lives. Lord, we thank you for your tender, loving mercies. And Father, we thank you for the faithfulness that you are. Lord, thank you for the compassions that you've given us. Lord, we never want to take that for granted. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the music starts. If the Lord has touched your heart tonight and you need to get something right, the altar's open. You can do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.